isn't necessarily having things, it's also craving things. A missionary said that. I didn't have his name, but it's true. It's just craving things, wanting something that you just don't have. There was an anonymous writer that told about some American tourists who visited the 19th century Polish rabbi whose name was Hofetz Chaim. They were astonished to see the rabbi's furnishings. His house was his place of living was just a simple room filled with books, plus a table and a bench. And the tourist said, "Rabbi, where is your furniture?" "Where's yours?" replied the rabbi. Well, the visitor said, "I'm a visitor. I'm only passing through." And the rabbi said, "I'm only passing through too. I'm only passing through." Pretty good thing to remember, isn't it? We're only passing through. We're going to leave everything we have to somebody else. And it's not bad to leave some things to somebody, but our goal in life should be to please God and to be content with what we have. Cyrus the king gave one of his friends a kiss and another friend a bag of gold, and the man that got the bag of gold envied the man that got the kiss. By the way, we should be seeking God's favor, his smile, his blessings, whether it be material or not, to have God's blessings upon us, his smile of favor, his peace in our heart. What a blessing that is. So we would want, if we had the choice, we would want God's favor. Not a bag of gold's okay if God gives it to you, but whether you have the bag of gold or not, to have his blessings. That's the thing we seek for. That's the thing we want most of all. Another person said, he who needs $5,000 to live is as poor as he who needs but five. He who needs, gotta have, must have, $5,000 to live is as poor as he who has but five. To whom little is not enough, nothing is enough. To whom little is not enough, little as much if God is in it, and little is okay if that's what God's given you. Amen? You don't have to have much, much, much. We, America, one of the big, in fact, I think it's probably going up on the corner down at Thompson Road and 31. America is inundated with storage places. You ever seen them right on the highway or anywhere now? Places to store your stuff. It's amazing. It's amazing. Well, let's go on. Let's go back to our outline. Number two, a home. Number one, a home is where materialism is not God. And secondly, a home is where God's peace rules in our hearts or in the hearts of its inhabitants. Peace because you have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Do you have that peace today? It can only come from God. It's a peace that, like the joy it produces, it's unspeakable and full of glory. It's peace. It's peace that passeth all understanding. It's peace that comes to those who are walking and going beside the still waters. The Lord's my shepherd. He leads me beside the still waters. That speaks of a place of peace. A calm place, a place of respite, a place for the soul to seek a hiding with God and a place where there is communion with the Lord. His peace keeps our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 7. Let me read it to you. Philippians 4. The peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus our Lord. Peace. Such an elusive thing in this world. Such an absent thing in this world. The world does not know what true peace is. True peace is only coming through a relationship with a person, that's Jesus Christ. And when he's in our life, it doesn't matter what the storms are swirling about us. We can still find a place of quiet rest near to the heart of God. There's a place of perfect peace. Place of quiet, near to the heart of God. Oh, and you can flee to that place. I've been clinging to a couple verses the last couple weeks because we all have times where we just feel more pressure, more stress, more trouble. And David said in Psalm 25, troubles have enlarged my heart. Troubles have enlarged my heart. Maybe you're there today. Physical troubles, financial troubles, marital troubles, relationships at work that have gone bad. Troubles have enlarged my heart. And then the psalmist said, oh, deliver me from these distresses. Deliver me from these distresses. And then he said in the next verse, verse 18 of Psalm 25, he said, look upon my affliction and my pain and forgive all my sins. What a prayer. I encourage you to write that down and cling to it and get it so you can quote it back to the devil when he rattles your cage. Shake skeletons out of the closet of your past, trying to defeat you with past burdens and sins and whatever, failures, or present complexities of life that you just can't seem to get past, or the fear of the future problems, calamities that lie out there because you know there's going to be a problem pop up. Troubles have enlarged my heart. Deliver me. Oh, bring me out of these distresses, psalmist said. Bring me out of these distresses. He can do that, by the way. And give you peace that passeth understanding. The peace of God, he says in verse 7, and the peace of God which passeth understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. I bid you to plug into that peace today. Plug into it. There's no peace in the world other than that peace. It's a peace because Isaiah 26:3, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed upon thee. Perfect peace. Not like the world gives. Jesus said, I'm going to give you peace, not as the world giveth, give I you. He said, that's temporary. That's conditional. That can go away with the snap of a finger. But peace that I give you, it'll be perfect peace. Just what you need. Peace that passeth it. So a Christian home is a place where the peace of God rules. It should be a place, not of chaos and calamity and confusion and fighting and fussing and feuding. Your home should be a place of peace. Get some good Christian music going there. Some wonderful, like we heard this morning. I don't think Courtney has a CD. I asked her if she did, but there are CDs out there. Get some good music that you can play. I can say this afternoon, okay, Google, stream Abiding Radio. And in 3 seconds, I've got the most beautiful music in the world. Don't we have advantages today in 2018 where you can just say something like that and have music? I know you got to buy the little equipment to put it. It just doesn't pop up there out of the air. But it's such a blessing to have good music in our homes. And so it'll be a place of peace. You scream and holler at in your house? God forbid. When I was a kid, we didn't have air conditioning, central air. I had my window up. I slept in the second floor. And early in the morning, some lady 3 houses over down the alley was screaming at the top of her kids. I tell you, if you grow up hearing screaming, you'd never want a part of it in your life when you're an adult. Amen? Don't marry a screaming woman, in other words. Or a feuding, fussing husband. Growling man. Don't do that. There's got to be peace. Get right with God and you won't be fussing and fighting. No place in a home for that kind of chaos. If it's a godly home, notice it says back in our text, let's go back to Psalm 112. He says, he giveth his beloved sleep. He giveth his beloved sleep. Don't do what is vain. Don't live for the God of materialism. Let God build your home, and when you put your head down at night, there's peace, there's quiet, there's calm, there's communion with God on your bed, there's fellowship between you and your spouse if you're married, or your kids, or whoever, maybe just you and God, you're by yourself. Wonderful, wonderful. Peace, peace. Wonderful peace coming down from the Father above. Nothing like it in the world. It ought to characterize our homes. It really should. And it's enhanced, by the way, by Bible reading and meditation. Turn over to Psalm 119. Psalm 119, verse 165, where he says, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Great peace. Psalm 119, verse 165. Look at it. Mark it if you don't mind marking your Bibles. Great peace have they which love the Word of God. Shouldn't be at war with people. Shouldn't be at war with your kids or your spouse or your neighbor. Nothing shall offend them. Oh, you may be disappointed. You may be a bit surprised, taken back by something somebody does, but it's no cause for war. Great peace. Great peace. That characterizes the calm, the quiet, the peace, characterizes a home whose builder maker is God, because there's just great peace there. He giveth his beloved sleep. He giveth his beloved, and so in this way, he gives his beloved sleep. I hope you have that peace today in your heart. So number one, a home is where materialism is not God. Number two, a home is where God's peace rules in our hearts. A home whose builder and maker is God is a place where children are considered a gift from God. Amen. Children. By the way, one more back up to the back point. I wanted to share with you a testimony. John Wesley and Mark Twain, two people whose deaths were opposite. When Wesley died at the age of 88, when he was dying, people that were there wrote later these words. He sat up, he looked at the people and said, "Best of all, God is with us." And laid down and died. Mark Twain, on the other hand, died at the age of 75. And here's what he said. Here's what he wrote. "A myriad of men are born. They labor and sweat and struggle for bread. They squabble and scold and fight. Age creeps up on them. Infirmities follow. Those they love are taken from them. And the joy of life is turned to aching." By the way, he experienced that in his own personal life, losing his loved one. So he said, the joy of life is turned to an aching grief. At last comes the only unpoisoned gift earth ever had for them, and they vanish from the world of which there was no consequence. Such despair, such darkness in death. What a contrast between a man who's from a home whose builder maker's God has peace, even in death, and certainly and especially in death. Well, let's go on. Number three, where children are considered low. Verse three, low children are an heritage. Did you look the word up? I did. Heritage is something you inherit. An heritage is your inheritance. Something you receive from somebody else. Something you receive from your father, so to speak, maybe. You receive a heritage. This is my heritage. What's my heritage? Well, it could be material, it could be non-material. It's what I've received from somebody in your life. A heritage. Well, from the Lord, it says in the Bible, we receive children. If you have a child, it's an inheritance from God. Nothing you could have made, nothing you could have done anything for. It's just from the Lord. It's His blessing. It's His blessing. By the way, it's not a curse. It's not something to kill. It's not something to bemoan. Until about 2015, they had a law in China that said you can only have one child legally. There was an exception or two. If you had a child born in Hong Kong, that didn't count. So you'd have another born in China. I think they changed it in 2015, so now I think maybe you can have two officially, legally. But that certainly does not speak of a country. Of course, they're atheists. The leadership of the country is. Many people probably are believers. There's a revival in China we read about. Multitudes being turned to Christ. But the leadership, and officially, it's an atheistic, communistic country. And they consider children a burden. In fact, even when the law was expanded for you can have two, many people said, we don't want to because it's too much of a burden. We want to stick with one because we don't want the financial responsibility of having it doubled and so forth. Well, that's not the biblical view, of course. Children are an inheritance of God. They are to be thanked. Something for which we thank God. Thank you, Lord. And if you are childless, that's not a sign of curse. That's just a sign that God has not chosen yet to bless you with the child He may. I know we've had people, known people, you have too, that have adopted, tried to adopt, fell through. Maybe did adopt, and then, lo and behold, they're going to have a child, naturally. So it's just a gift of God. It's in His providences. He is wise. And we can't question what He does and when He does it and why He does it. But we know this. A child is, notice verse 3 again, the heritage of the Lord and the fruit of the womb is His reward. Amen. It's a blessing. It's a blessing. By the way, he goes on and says more. Did you read that? As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. I'm not going to wax eloquent on those statements today because I don't fully understand all of it, but I know this. Children are not a curse of God. They're not a curse of God. And if you have more than one, it's not a sign that he's going to curse you and give you them. No, it's a blessing. It's a blessing. And if you have a quiver full, if you have arrows, I think to speak to me of security. If I've never been much of a hunter, but if I were and out with a bow and arrow and hunting, I'd feel more secure with a bow and arrow if I knew how to use it, of course. I would feel more safe. I would feel like I would be ready for to meet my family's needs, supply. Kill a deer or something that we could eat, supply. Strength, there would be strength there. It's before they had gun stores and shops on every corner back here. So a man that had his quiver full of arrows as he's out doing the day's hunting or work or whatever, he's going to feel more secure, safe, strong, and ready to supply his family's needs. And so children, just kind of a mental picture, a picture in the Bible of the quiver being full of children. You've got a household full of children. What a blessedness. Strength there. There's strength there, not weakness. There's security and safety. Should be. And trusting God to supply those needs. So they bring multiple blessedness. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with enemies in the gates. That is, there will be dignity afforded and respect afforded a man who is blessed and a woman who's blessed of God this way. Proverbs 17:6, Solomon puts it this way. Children's children are the crown of old men. That means grandkids are the crown of old men. And to have grandkids, you've got to have kids. Can't have it the other way. You can't have the grandkids first. You got to have the kids. And with all the responsibilities and pressures and sometimes burdens and sometimes sorrows and griefs that come with it, if you can just project a little bit further ahead, someday they're going to have children, and those children are going to be the crown of you. You're of an older person. It's going to be your crown. And by the way, that verse went on and said, and the glory of children are their fathers. The glory of children, just in a unique and special way, are their fathers. Nothing like a mother, mother's love, but there's nothing also like a father. Father's influence, a father figure, a father's strength, a father's character. Oh my, we all had fathers that were flawed. We thought maybe sometimes they were perfect, but they weren't. We found out when we got to be fathers, we're not perfect either. Sometimes we want to project perfectness, but we can't fool a kid. They know. But if we love them, they love us back. Nothing more heartwarming than to see one of these pictures on TV of a child at school, and their dad's over in the Middle East on assignment in the army, one of the armed forces, and unbeknownst to the kids, they have a special assembly, and out from behind the wings comes dad, and that kid runs and hugs and holds and halves dad for, oh, it's just, how many can watch that without being moved almost to tears? I can't. Wonderful thing. Because children, the glory of children are their dads, their fathers. We need homes today that have strong dads, men of courage, men of character, men of committed to biblical truths, men who will have family devotions, men who are not ashamed to pray and lead their family spiritually. A home whose builder and maker is God is a home that values the worth of a child, doesn't worship a child, doesn't jump to every whim a child may have, doesn't put the child before God, puts your child in his proper place in the home. Child should never come between mom and dad. Child should never come before God. And too many parents in America today have made children their objects of worship. And they put children before God. Now that's just the truth, whether you think it's very pleasant to hear or not. It's from an old man who's observed over 50 years in ministry what's happening in America. And we want to exalt the place of children in their proper place. They are an heritage. They are a reward of God. And the more children, the more reward. Sometimes we look down upon families that have 20 kids. But my goodness, if they can do it and they can raise them, God bless them. And thank you, Lord, it wasn't me. But if he had chosen to bless us with that, thank you, Lord. Thank you. It's his reward. Father in heaven, give us a home that would meet this standard, this criteria. A home that you're building. A home where God is not material things. Home where peace, the peace of God, rules hearts in harmony, peace. A home where children are considered an inheritance, not a curse. Give us, Lord, as adults, as moms and dads, as granddads and grandmothers, give us the right perspective. Help us to be wise leaders. Help us to be models, realizing that we're all flawed. We've failed to come up to our own expectations, much less yours.